Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyana wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya rabbil alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reach the blessed month of Ramadan and witness His mercy insha'Allah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put blessings and barakah in whatever it is that we are going to study this evening insha'Allah ta'ala, and make it ilm and nafi'a, or beneficial knowledge. It's been over 26 sessions here that we've had of Masalik al-Jinan, which is the class we have every Wednesday evening. Normally we have it on Qalam's campus. Unfortunately, as the whole world is on lockdown, now we have to have the class virtually, alhamdulillah. So we had one 2 weeks ago, and last week I wasn't able to join you guys. Had a pretty bad headache, but alhamdulillah, a lot better this week. And if you're on Facebook, you can notice that at the bottom it says, final class. Because we're actually now to the point where we're actually going to start another section of his book. And so I think this is a beautiful place to stop in Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala's Masalik al-Jinan. For those of you who don't know, we've been studying a book by an amazing scholar. His name is Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah. Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, who is a great Senegalese scholar, amazing scholar that our ummah has produced, amazing works that he has written regarding almost every field of Islamic sciences. And he lived right at the time of the French colonization of Senegal and West Africa. And he led a very peaceful resistance against the colonization. And he said that his jihad was through the pen. He said that his jihad was through the pen. And he was put into exile for many years. But on coming out of that exile, he immediately just forgave those who had done wrong against him and unjustly imprisoned him. And so for the last 26 sessions, I mean, subhanAllah, we've been studying this for the entire year almost. We've been studying Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba's Qasida, Masalik al-Jinan. And so it's been a beautiful book. And one of my intentions was not only just to benefit from the knowledge, that Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba has left us, but one of my intentions was to expose the general Muslim population, and specifically my context is American Muslim population, to West African scholarship, and let them see the turath, or the treasures of knowledge that West African scholarship has produced. It was a great honor, in fact, to go through this text with all of the students that were there every week almost, mashallah. Salam to everyone. I see a lot of you guys on Facebook right now. I wish we could be having this final class in person, but khair qadr Allah ma sha'a. And in fact, in today's lesson, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala is going to actually give us some really good advice for the situation that we're in right now. So for you, those of you who this is your first time attending this session, this is a qasida. So Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, like many of the early scholars, they would write their knowledge in poetry form. You know, nowadays, if there was an academic journal They would laugh at if someone tried to write an academic journal in poetry. It'd be like, what are you doing? But many of our scholars, they wrote their knowledge in the most beautiful way, in poetic form. On one hand, showing their knowledge of the science, and on the other hand, showing their ability to grasp the Arabic language and to communicate some of the deepest meanings in poetic form. And so one of the things that really stuck with me, that what we read when we started this qasida, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah, he said, "Do not let the darkness of my skin stop you from taking benefit from the knowledge that I have." And so, subhanAllah, it's just a beautiful lesson for us, beautiful reminder for us that never be too arrogant to take knowledge from anyone. Never be too arrogant to take knowledge from anyone. That's the key. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and learn knowledge from whoever, wherever you can get that knowledge from. This is going to be the final class of Masalik before Ramadan. That is, after Ramadan, I'm sure we'll study something else. For those of you who don't know, this is a podcast on Qalam Institute's podcast. They have an app as well. All of the classes are there, so you can listen to them throughout the month of Ramadan or whenever you want to listen to them, inshallah ta'ala. So today, inshallah, we'll begin Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba's Masalik al-Jinan, inshallah ta'ala. We're reading from lines 1070. So we've read almost over 1,000 lines of this qasida, and it's just been an amazing journey through knowledge and self-discovery. One thing that we have to understand, and we have an opportunity before us with this pandemic, is a lot of what Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba taught us echoes what many other scholars have said, which is there's a process of self-awareness and self-discovery that your Islam must lead you on, right? Your Islam should be a process of not only you discovering what Islam tells you, but through that, you discover who you are as a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you discover who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to you. And so a lot of the teachings of Ghazali, of Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, is about truly understanding yourself from a deeper psychological perspective and a deeper spiritual perspective. And so if your Islam, if you're always focused on other people, on the world, on everything else, you've missed a large part of what Islam has for you. And it should bring you to introspection. It should bring you back to reflecting on yourself, who you are as a person. If all you get from, these classes is knowledge about other people, how to look at other people, how to judge other people, how to judge other people's relationships with Allah, then you've completely missed the purpose of Islam and the purpose of the teachings of Islam, which is discover your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm going to read, inshallah, from his poetry. This section is different. He's wrapping up this section, and as he wraps up this section, he kind of brings one-liners about certain aspects of Islamic spirituality. One-liners, right? But they're very beautiful and they're very deep. So let's pay attention to them, inshallah ta'ala. All right. So without any further ado, let's begin Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala's work, inshallah ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أما القنوت فتفكر وانظر في سعة الرحمة تحوي البشرى أما أمامك عماك عن أيوبك مع رؤية عيب الناس مهما وقع. So the first line he reads, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, he says, أما القنوت, as far as قنوت is concerned. Now, qunut is a word that comes over and over in the Quran. وَلَا تَقْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا قُنُوت وَلَا تَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Qunut is a term which means to despair. It means to lose hope. in Allah's mercy. Some have described it to be istisghar, or to shrink down or belittle Allah's rahmah, and to lose complete hope that Allah's mercy is there and that Allah's special blessings are there for you. Throughout the hadith, what we learn is a concept of balance. Throughout this class, I've been reminding that Islam is about reaching a level of balance. And so what Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba has been teaching is that, like all the other scholars of spirituality, is that it's about balance. And so what that means is you never want to have so much hope in Allah that it leads you to not acting, because you become confident you're good, right? See, when you think you're too good, you stop improving. When you think you're, you know, your jumper's on point, you don't go practice your jumper anymore. You know, whatever your skill is, whatever it is, you stop improving the moment you think you've achieved some level of perfection. And so your hope in Allah should not reach a point where it stops your progress towards Allah. But at the same time, and so that means you have to be worried, you have to have fear, you have to be worried that, am I on my deen? Am I on the way that I should be on it? And now what happens is Shaitan loves to push us to the extremes of what would have been good states to be in. I'll say that again, because I think that's a very important point. Shaitan loves to push us to the extremes of states that would have been ideal had we remained balanced with it. So fear is a good quality. Fear motivates you to get stuff done. When you got an exam, it's fear that's going to be like, yo, I got to study. When you have, you know, whatever it may be before your life, it's that fear of the upcoming, what's coming, that will get you motivated to do what you got to do. And so fear is a great motivator, carrot or the stick. You guys know that from psychology, right? So fear is a great motivator. But what happens is your fear, and Shaitan loves for this to happen, your fear can push you so far that you begin to now feel hopeless. There's no point whatsoever. There's no point whatsoever. And so the ideal place that we want to reach is to create this equilibrium between hope and fear. And the best analogy that I've ever heard regarding this, and I really want you to think about this analogy, is if you've ever, and those who have been in the class, they all know I've given this analogy quite a few times. But khair, you know, fadhakir in the dhikra tenfold mu'mineen, you know, the reminder is good. The best analogy for how you must balance hope and fear is a rowboat. So you're on a boat, right? And in order to move forward, you have to row the paddles. And in order to go forward, you must row them both at the same strength. And if you do that, you'll move forward, right? Now, if you only row one of the oars, what will happen to the boat? It'll go in a circle, right? And if you roll the other one by itself, it'll go in a circle as well. This is the same analogy as hope and fear. If you only focus on fear of Allah, you will get to a point where you're just going in circles, because you get to a hopeless state. And that's qunut. That's what Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala is talking about at this point. Ammal qunut, as far as this despair and hopelessness, it's a major sin actually. Imam Zahabi has a book called Kaba'ir, in which he mentions many of the Kaba'ir, obviously the major sins. And he mentioned quite a few hadith that consider to have despair in Allah's mercy as a major sin. Now, you may be questioning, so why is despair such a horrible sin? Well, the reason, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya explained, the reason why it's so bad is because it's actually su'udhan billah. Su'udhan billah. Su'udhan means you're having a bad opinion of Allah. Like, can you imagine someone you love dearly, Someone you love dearly. Just think about this for a moment. Someone you truly love dearly, who you've had a relationship for your whole life. You've been taking care of them. You've been nurturing them. You've been loving to them. And then all of a sudden, some situation comes up. And from that person, you get the vibes that they don't trust you anymore. They think that you're going to be opportunistic regarding them. They think you're going to take advantage of them. The same, you're the one who's been nurturing them, taking care of them, helping them every step, never asking for anything. And all of a sudden something happens and they look at you and they go, I wonder if he's going to take advantage of me. I wonder if he's going to help. How would you feel regarding that person? You would feel extremely hurt. That, don't you know by now who I am? Have I not proved myself enough to you? Have I not been there every step of the way? So when we slip into this state of kunut, when we slip into this state of kunut, then what we allow ourselves to do is to disrespect Allah's previous rahmah against us, with us. And now we are at a state of su'udhan billah, having a bad opinion about Allah. And this destroys, if it would destroy your relationship with a human being, because how would they feel? So it's a major sin, because it's stabbing at that relationship that you have with Rabbul Alameen. And so Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba Rahimullah, he brings us to kunut. And so the point I digressed on was that Islam is about an equilibrium of these states. And so when we're rowing the boat, going back to that analogy, hope is one of the oars, fear is another one. And you have to row them and row them. I'm not going to sing the nursery rhyme. We all know it, right? That was a joke. Okay. All right. You're going to row, row, row your boat, right? Merrily, you know, gently down the stream, however it goes. My wife is laughing at me. Okay, good. All right. So as we, now here's the other point about this analogy. When you're on that boat, depending on the currents coming against you, you may have to adjust how hard you row on one side or the other. You may have to adjust. So let's picture this, right? So I'm trying to go up the stream, right? And all of a sudden, a stronger current is coming from that direction, from over there. Now, if I keep just rowing both at the same speed, then what's going to happen is, even though I'm doing my part, I'm going to start to go off track because of the environment around me. So what that tells me is, based on the environment that you find yourself in, you're going to have to adjust which one you focus on more or less, hope or fear. And no one can tell you that but yourself. You have to know the situation that you're in and analyze, do I need more fear right now or do I need more hope right now? Now, generally speaking, the scholars say that when you're young, you're full of energy, you're full of emotion, you're full of desire. They say you need to be paddling on the fear a bit more than the hope. And then they say when you get older, then you need to now paddle a bit more on the hope, because you have less ability. And so you would start to feel bad that I can't get up for tahajjud. I can't do this. I feel weak. I can't fast. I'm too weak now. And now you start to say, what can I do for Allah? You start to lose hope. So that's when you start to focus on the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, please, the spiritual states you should be in are very nuanced. And so when we talk about fear and when we talk about hope, remember, here's the deal. I want you to hear this. This is heavy. You may hear a khutbah, right? Or a lecture. And the lecture is all about fear of Allah, right? What you need to do is take that in. Don't worry about what they're saying. Don't worry about whether they're balanced or whatever. What you need to say is, maybe I need this dose of fear right now because I've been paddling the other oar too much. And if you hear a lecture, it's all about the hope of Allah. It's all about the Jannah and the mercy and the forgiveness. Maybe you needed that, right? And so there's a saying, you know, I'll forget the saying. It's all good. But the point I'm trying to say is that you really, really need to get it where you can get it from, okay? And so now Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, let's come back to his poem. Remember, we want balance. And a major sin is kunut. And what is kunut? To lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. to lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does he say? The scholars always give cures, but the cures, like any other medicine, if you don't take it, it's not going to benefit you, right? So once we talk about the cure, now it's about taking those doses of the cure. So let's look at the cure. And this is real. I got a message recently from someone, and they were like, you know, Sheikh, I my life, you know, I was just out in Jahiliyyah. I was born Muslim, raised, but I was living Jahiliyyah. I was just having fun. And I've done some major sins, but I can't forgive myself, right? This is what they said, right? Like, I can't forgive myself. So I was like, look, you gotta understand that Shaitan wants you to limit Allah's mercy. Because once you realize the vastness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, Ibn Ata'Allah al-Askandari, he says, if you truly, truly knew Allah's mercy, if you truly, truly knew Allah's mercy, then no sin would seem large. Now that's heavy. You hear that, you're like, whoa, that's dangerous for me. Don't tell me that, because whoa, that's too much. But again, if you truly knew Allah's mercy, if you truly knew how happy Allah is with you coming back to Him, then you would realize that Shaitan only wants one thing. Shaitan just wants you to lose hope in Allah, lose hope in yourself, despair that you can never turn back to Allah. And remember this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves our turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Loves it. It's He loves for us to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. Allah give us tawfiq. You know, there's one hadith that just comes to my mind, which is, and I'll just paraphrase the hadith, all right? It's just because I don't want to spend the whole time on the hadith, but hadith is beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an analogy that's just so, so profound. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that, you know, a man is traveling, you know, by himself, him and his camel. He's got all his stuff on the camel. Hot desert, you know, all he has is on the camel. There's nothing else. And he's tired, so he finds a tree. He lays under the tree. He dozes off. And when he wakes up, his camel's gone. He looks right. He looks left. He looks in front. He looks behind. No sign of the camel as far as the eye can see. And this man knows, I'm in the desert. The moment I walk a mile, 2 miles, I'm done. Right? I'm done. So he just sits down. Right? See, when you lose hope, you stop walking. See, when you lose hope, you stop walking. You stop moving to Allah. So what did the man do? He just sat down. He's like, what's the point in moving another step? I'm going to die anyway. And that's where Shaitan loves us to be. You're going to hell anyway. Why are you praying Salah, man? Who are you joking? That's right there. That thought is pure Shaitan. The moment that thought comes, get up and drop 2 more rakat. Say astaghfirullah, Allahu Akbar. Yep. Just drop 2 more. Right the moment that thought comes, because it's purely from Shaitan. So this man, he wakes up and his camel's gone. That means food, that means water, that means every single thing is gone. And so, like we said, when you have no hope, you stop progress, you stop all your progress. So he just sits there. The hadith says he just sits down. And he has yaqeen that he's dead. He has yaqeen that he's going to die. And he dozes off. He's just sitting there. He's just like, he falls asleep. The heat is beating on him. He falls asleep again. And he starts to wake up. And he looks. And the camel's back. With everything on it. You know, he jumps up. He grabs the camel. He grabs it and, you know, he says these words out of happiness. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said that Allah loves your tawbah more than that man loves seeing that camel come back to him. Like, think about how what that means regarding Allah's mercy with us. Like, Allah loves, just same way that man just felt he was done. And he loves to see that camel. And he has another chance. The Prophet said, Allah, more than that man loves that camel coming back, more than that Allah loves you coming back to him. So never, ever, ever, ever lose hope in Allah's mercy, regardless of the sin that you commit. Every day is a new day. You start off fresh. You wake up, you make your wudu, you raise your hands to Allah, and you say, this is a new day, Ya Allah, I'll prove to you today that I love you. And if we sin, we sin. But to the next day, we do it again, and we do it again, and we do it again. And guess what? One day, you're going to pass away in a day that you woke up, you said, Allah, I'm going to prove to you today, I love you. You're going to pass away. One day, we're all going to pass away. But it will be a day in the morning you said, Ya Allah, today is a new day. I'm starting fresh. And you pass away. And Allah says, look, he was on his way back to me. He was on his way back. So Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, let's read his words. Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, rahimahullah ta'ala, what does he say? He says, أَمَّا الْقُنُوتُ As far as this despair. فَتَثَكَّرْ The way you cure it is you think. وَانْظُرَى And look. Look at what? Think about what? فِي سِعَةِ رَحْمَةِ تَحْوِي الْبُشَرَى Look at the vast mercy of Allah. Just focus on the mercy of Allah. تَحْتَوِي الْبُشْرَى You will be consoled through that. So let's make this practical. Literally speaking, what do you do? So what you need is like a list of verses that are all about rahmah, okay? And what you need is a list of hadith that are all about the rahmah of Allah. Just like literally like 20 hadith that are about Allah's forgiveness. Allah forgives all the sins if you do this. Allah forgives all the sins if you do this. Allah forgives. Like you need all those hadith, right? And then what you need is, remember, we do the du'as every morning. And one of the things we were talking about in the morning du'as, and I encourage everyone to join us if you can. It's at 8:30 Central Time, AM. We read du'as together on Instagram and Facebook. Please join us. But one of the things that I talk about in that is the repetition. Repetition is how we embed realities in our heart that we want to be there for us when we need them. And so when it comes to the mercy of Allah, when it comes to this situation, if you just read that one hadith, now we all just listen to the hadith about the camel right now, right? Everyone was listening. We're all like, man, that's powerful, right? Now, right now, we got that boost of iman in the mercy of Allah regarding that hadith, right? But tomorrow, 2 days, we forget. So how do you keep renewing that a reality in your heart? How do you keep making that reality? We call it the tahqiq ul hal. Tahqiq ul hal means to make a temporary state a more firm or a permanent state, right? How do we get to that? Well, that's through repetition. And so you literally will have like a list of the hadith of rahmah, a list of them. And when you feel yourself slipping into, or it could even be a lecture. Like if there's one lecture that's about the rahmah of Allah that you've heard and it just is powerful, that you save that lecture. And the moment you feel yourself slipping into despair, you play that lecture again. You read those hadith again. So, but my point is many times we think things are like one-off things and they're not. Spiritual diseases, you work at them your whole life to cure them. And it's constant work. So let's keep going. So he says, أَمَّا الْقُنُوتُ As far as this despair, you have to contemplate and look at the vastness of Allah's mercy. The vastness of Allah's mercy. That is the cure for the despair. That is the cure for losing hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who never lose hope in Him and always have the best husna dhan, the best opinion regarding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us in His rahmah, inshallah. Let's keep going. Now, as I said before, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba at this point in the book is not writing many lines on each topic. He's doing really short one lines on each topic. So now he actually switches to another topic. And so Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, rahimahullah, he says, Amma amaka an uyubika ma'a ru'yati aybin nasi mahma waqa'a fa'dhurhum wastur alayhim abada يستر لك العورة ربك غدا. Beautiful words. So as I said, one of the primary purposes of everything we learn in the deen is for us to learn more about our own reality. You should be more aware of who you are, right? Do your SWOT analysis. You know your benefit, your strengths, your weaknesses. You know you. So check this. What happens with many of us, and by nature, the way Allah made us, is it's harder for us to see our own deficiencies. It's harder for us to even smell our own bad smell. SubhanAllah. Like, all jokes aside, SubhanAllah, you smell really bad and you need deodorant when you smell your own self. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't front. Everyone acting all like pious right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Somebody on Instagram, somebody on Facebook. Everyone's acting really sharif, man. Okay, yeah, somebody's like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay, my point, everyone's shy to say something. Okay, my point, brothers and sisters, is that by nature, we don't see our own faults. By nature, we don't see our own faults. That's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us. And the beauty, subhanAllah, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-mu'minu mir'atu al-mu'min. That the mu'min is the mirror of the mu'min. And you use a mirror to see your own faults. And so this is heavy. Check this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is basically saying that when I look at you, it should actually inform me about my own reality. It should actually inform me and make me more cognizant of my own self. And so what Sheikh Ahmed Dubamba here is talking about is heavy, yo. This is heavy. Pay close attention. He says, Amma amaka an uyubika ma'a ru'yati aibin nasi mahma waqa'a. As far as your blindness or inability to see your own faults, coupled with your ability to see the faults of others. Now he doesn't go deep into why it's so bad, because throughout the book he did that. Right now he's just trying to tell you how to cure it. So before he talks about how to cure it, what I'm going to say to you is this: you really need to realize, am I someone who is constantly noticing the faults of other people without that being a reflection of my own self? Or am I someone that is focused on myself and that blinds me from the faults of others? Whatever is your primary concern, it will blind you from other things. It's like a camera. Like, the camera can't focus on something close while at the same time focusing on something back, right? It has to kind of choose what it wants to focus on. Similarly, our eyesight, right now I'm focusing there, and this right here is blurry because I'm focusing on that, right? It's impossible for me to literally like focus on two things. It's impossible, right? But check this. When it comes to your own self, what we've learned through the Prophet's teachings, Islam is real, man. SubhanAllah. The Prophet said that the mu'min, al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min, when you look at the other person and you see a fault, what you should automatically by default learn to do within yourself is make that kick back on yourself and you go, is that in me too? So before you start, pointing the finger, you're like, wait, SubhanAllah. Now, why was I saying focus on two things? You ever had like a really serious situation going down? Like a serious exam, lost a job, lost a loved one? Whenever something real is going down in your life, automatically other people, their things become very trivial to us. You feel what I'm saying? They become really trivial, really trivial. Do you guys feel what I'm saying on that? What I mean by that is when something is very important, when something is very important, then your focus is there. Now, the person whose their their ru'ya, they all they see is the faults of others, and they're blinded by seeing the other people's faults from their own faults. They haven't taken their own lives serious enough. They haven't taken their own lives serious enough because, and the proof of that is the example I just gave you. When you realize that I got serious stuff I'm worried about, all of a sudden that he said, she said stuff, that's for the birds, man. Sorry for the slang, whatever. I don't know if everyone can understand. I know people are in different parts of the world and stuff, but for the birds just means it's like, there's no point to it. Like, it's trivial, very trivial, right? And so, again, I want everyone to understand what this is, what we're saying here. What we're saying is that we need to be people who are so concerned about our own reality before Allah in this world, just yourself, that you become, quote unquote, blinded from the faults of others. Now, again, let's put everything in balance now. Let's put everything in balance now. The balance is that I'm not blinded from when people need me. I'm not blinded of people when they need my help. I'm not blind. I'm not so preoccupied with myself that I can't hear the calls for help. But when it comes to the faults of people, well, I can't worry about those faults because if we talk about faults, I got stuff over here I got to take care of, which is in my own life, right? So those are a few things I kind of want you to understand. Now, Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, rahimahullah ta'ala, he starts to give us cures now. Now we realize how bad this disease of seeing other people's faults all the time and not seeing your own faults. But, and subhanAllah, I'm going to be real with you guys. You know, our own social media consumption, the way we live our lives, a lot of it is we're witnessing other people. And if you're not really, really watching your heart, you will commit many sins of the heart just scrolling through Instagram. What do I mean by sins of the heart? Jealousy is a sin of the heart. Having a bad opinion is a sin of the heart. All of these things are sins of the heart. As you're scrolling, you're seeing a lot of people. You're seeing a lot of people's lives. And so now I have more opportunity, so to speak, for jealousy to creep up, for su'adhan to creep up, having a bad opinion, for seeing other people's faults, right? Because we have more interaction with people, quote unquote, through these mediums, more interaction than other people would have had, subhanAllah, in lifetimes in some places. So look at Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba. He says, well, what do you do? How do you cure this? Okay, I get it. It's bad. Well, what do I do then? Well, this is what you do. Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, he says, فَأْذُرْهُمُ وَاسْتُرْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَبَدًا يَسْتُرْ لَكَ الْأَوْرَةَ رَبُّكَ غَدًا. He says, فَأْذُرْهُمُ. He says, make excuses for them. Make excuses for them. Now, I'm not going to get all up in the conversation and talk about, you know, public sins and, you know, this person is harming the community, all of that. This talk is about your own spiritual development. If you're in a position, you got to correct the wrong, you got to correct the wrong. That's different, right? But generally speaking, almost 9 times out of 10, the things that I see people doing are none of my business. And quite frankly, I have more important things that I need to focus on. Allah is not going to question me why Abdullah is posting that thing on Facebook. Allah's not going to ever question me about that. But Allah's going to question me about myself. So first thing you do is make excuses. So here's the thing about making excuses. You know, I heard something funny. This was really interesting. Somebody was like, it was a comedian. Comedians, subhanAllah, they always, you know, tell the truth, man. Comics, man, comedians can always tell the truth. So one thing that I heard a comedian say, he was kind of like, you ever been waiting for like in the drive-thru at like Starbucks or Tim Hortons or wherever you know, go to get coffee or something, right? So you're in the line and the car in front of you is taking forever ordering, right? And they're like, I don't know. So how's the, you know, like that. And you're behind there, you're like, and if you're from the Northeast, like New York or Jersey, I mean, then it's over, done. You going crazy, right? Just joke. I'm just messing with you. If you're from the Northeast, I'm just picking on you. It's just a joke. Anyways, So you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, you start to lose patience with this person. And you're like, what's going on? Why are you taking so long? So then the comedian, he was like, then now your turn pulls up. And the moment you pull up, you do the exact same thing that the other person did. Now, what he said is, the interesting thing was, for you make excuses. sorry about the Jersey joke, yo. My bad. For ourselves, we make excuses. Like, I know why I did that. Or for our own loved ones, I know why my children did that. Oh, you don't understand, Abdullah. Abdullah had a bad day today. You don't understand, right? Or you don't understand. Like, subhanAllah, the point is that we easily can find excuses for ourselves, almost naturally. Psychologically, it just comes natural. What is the excuse for ourselves or our loved ones, right? But for other people, making excuses takes a lot more work. For other people, making excuses takes a lot more work. And so what Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba here is teaching, listen to these words. When you see people doing wrong, when you see people doing wrong, what do? He says, fa'dhurhumu, make excuses for them. And just think about yourself, the same way you make excuses for your own self. Wastur alayhim. And I'm not speaking globally, I'm speaking about America right now because, I can only speak about my context. But we have this, like, this vicious call-out culture, right? And if you don't know what call-out culture is, just look it up. Where, if anyone slips up and makes the slightest mistake, then all of a sudden the hawks are on that person. Like everything, just exposed. Da, 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 da. SubhanAllah, Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba says, what? Wastur alayhim. Our deen. Now, again, I gotta, obviously nuance and caveat this with wrongs against people, wrongs that are going to hurt the community and other people, kada, 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 for sure. And I'm not belittling that at all. If someone is going to cause harm to the community, then obviously, then, in the la yuhibbullah jahra bisu illa man dhulim. Allah doesn't love for you to open wrongs except when there's oppression, when there's harm that can be caused and done to people. In that case, then we have to, step up and say, yo, I got to stop this before someone else is hurt. But other than that, and most of our trivial problems that we have are not those major, it's smaller things. So he says, wastur alayhim abada. Cover it up. Cover it up. Have a nature that covers up, not exposes. And there's a dua of the Prophet sallallahu that, Ya Allah, I seek refuge from a friend that loves to see my faults exposed and covers up the good that I do. SubhanAllah. Think about that, the power of that dua. What did the Prophet sallallahu say? I seek refuge from a friend that loves, or an enemy that loves to see my wrongs come out and loves to hide the good that I do. That's powerful. And so just realize that some of us, we got a lot of my mother, she's a psychologist, and she was working on a book, and I asked her what the name of the book was, and she said the name of the book is Unfinished Business. And I was like, why is that, mom? She's like, because the majority of the psychological problems that people are dealing with is because they have unfinished business inside of them they haven't dealt with yet. And so many of us, we have this kind of we have a lot of these sicknesses just because there's stuff inside that we haven't come to terms with. So Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba, he says, what do you do? Wastur, what's the reward of that satr? He says, Yastur laka al-awrata rabbuka ghadah. Realize that when you cover someone else's faults, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow will cover your faults as well. Allah will cover your faults as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that. I mean, listen, yo, one of my teachers, Sheikh Ibrahim Maimon, man, subhanAllah, he said something beautiful that's stuck with me my whole life. Sheikh Ibrahim, he said, he's like, look, Allah's protective cover over you, the veil that Allah has put over you, is very, very thin. And you need to realize that if Allah just removed a little bit of that veil, people would never even want to keep your company. It's only Allah covering your sins, covering some of your reality, that allows people to put up with you. Think about that. That's heavy. And so what that teaches me, now, why do I need to know that? Because when I realize a reality, I reciprocate that with other people. I reciprocate that with other people. Do you get what I'm saying? So once I realize, when I'm walking around all day, realizing that Allah is just protecting me, then now I start to have a more benevolent relationship with other people. And I'm like, yo, you need to be covered too, yo. I'm with you here. We both covered. But when you feel this, and some, what was the word for it? That when people, that self-righteous, there's a word specifically for it. It's not just self-righteous. There's a word specifically, someone help me. I can't remember the word for it. Slips my mind. It's basically where, you know, the community creates this aura that everyone is just so upright and you have no faults yourself. I think that's a dangerous place. Once we all realize that we're in the satr of Allah, we're in the protection of Allah, then we all start to be a bit more benevolent with one another. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. How long have we had class so far? What time did we start? 8:30? Nah, I wasn't thinking of entitled. I'm on Instagram right now. I wasn't thinking of entitled. It's just this... this self-righteousness is the word I was actually looking for. That, you know, we start to feel ourselves that, oh, I never do anything wrong, right? And I think it's the other way we need to look at it. Okay, subhanAllah. Yeah, let's go to the next one. I'm just looking at the time, guys. Okay, let's go to the next one. Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, he says, أما تمني فاعتراضك على مولاك فاستسلم لما قد فعل. As for the habit of wishing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision had been different. So now it's a different topic. We're done with the faults. We're talking about something else. What we're talking about right now is specifically tamanni, or wishing, that things had went another way. That things had went another way. And I shared this with you guys in another class. That, you know, there was a study that I read in a psychology class. I'm sure many of you have read it as well. That, you know, they studied the facial expressions of people. You may have heard me share this before, but I think it's relevant here. So I'll just share it again. They studied, like, the facial expressions of people who won medals. Gold, silver, and bronze medals. And this study showed that people who came in second place almost always looked sadder than the people who came third place. And the study says the reason why is because the people who came in second place, they feel worse because they feel like they just missed it. They just missed it. And they start to say to themselves, if only I had did this, if only I did that, if only. Now, who can tell me, what does the Prophet ﷺ say about this word, if only? What does the Prophet ﷺ in a hadith say specifically about the word, if only? There's a hadith that says that it opens up the door of shaitan. It's from shaitan, exactly. And the reason why this is so interesting is because for the believer, and when I say believer, I mean the state we want to reach. For the believer, whether you're at second place or third place, there's a reality that has to come into your heart where you say, It was impossible for me to go back one step or move up one step. It was impossible. It never would have happened. And so what Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala is speaking about, this destructive disease of tamanni. Ah, man, I wish it went this way. Ah, man, I wish it went this way. That thought right there is very dangerous to our faith, number one. And psychologically is very, very troubling. Because you won't find peace. You'll always feel as if I just missed something. But when the believer realizes that ma asabaka whatever hit me could not have missed me. And whatever missed me could not have hit me. Once that reality sets in, then you reach this place of being ridha, like content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And so what's being said here, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, he says, listen, your tamanni or wishing for other than Allah's decree, he says, فَإِعْتِرَاذُكَ عَلَى مَوْلَاكَ, this is an objection against your Lord. فَاسْتَسْلِمْ, so just submit. Submit. لِمَا قَدْ فَعَلَ, submit to what he has done. فَلَيْسَتْ فَلَسْتَ تَدْرِي الدَّهْرَ مَا يُعْقِبُكَ أَخَيْرٌ أَمْ شَرٌ أَخِي يُهْلِكُكَ. He says, because you truly don't know if that thing that you are so deeply desiring is something that was actually going to destroy you. You truly don't know if that thing that you were truly desiring, the thing that you are angry with Allah for not giving you, the thing that you are angry with Allah for not giving you, you don't know if that thing, truly you don't know if that thing was the thing that would have destroyed you. So here you are, angry at Allah who just protected you from the evil that you never even saw coming. So what's the solution? You know, I just said to you guys that Kalimatul Law, the hadith says Law is from shaitan, right? Everyone in the chat box is sharing it. Yeah. Law is from shaitan, right? But here's the deal. Law is from shaitan after the action is done. Before the action, it's all about what you put into it. But when the action is done, you say, Qadr Allah ma sha'a. Like whatever Allah wills is what happens. Like other than that, I have no control over it. But remember, this is about after the action. And that's the beauty of Islam. Remember what I said at the beginning of class. The beauty of Islam is this amazing balance. So let's look, before we talked about the balance between hope and fear. Now here's another balance. We have this balance between trusting that whatever Allah has written is what's going to come to me, and the other extreme, which is I'm going to work for everything. If I don't work for it, I don't get it. Think about this. These are two extremes. What are the two extremes? One extreme is if you don't work, you're not going to get it. If you don't make an effort, it's not yours. It's never going to come. You got to do your part. The other extreme is whatever Allah wrote is going to come to you. It's maktub, right? What's the book? Maktub. What's the book? The Alchemist, right? Maktub. If anyone's ever read Alchemist, it's a great novel. Great novel. Anyways, so my wife put me onto it because I know she's going to be like, yo. Anyways, so you see these two extremes, everyone. The beauty in Islam is to come to the middle. So how do we operate with both of these two extremes? If I don't act, I don't get it. If I don't take the asbab, the means, I don't get it. But I have to have trust in Allah that whatever Allah has written is what's going to come to me. These are two opposites. How do I live with both of these? Well, quite easily. Before you do the action, before, the whole thing is before and after. Before the action, you act and do as if your action is everything. And after you do the action, you leave the results completely up to Allah. I know, tie your camel, all that, but hear me out on this. This is deeper. Look, let me give an example. This is deeper. This is far beyond tie your camel. Why? Because, okay, tie your camel is about take the asbab and leave it to Allah. I'kal wa tawakkal. Agreed. And that is actually a great hadith to use in this situation. But I feel like there's a deeper lesson I'm trying to communicate, which is, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. I lost my train of thought. The before and after. Here's the example. It came back. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. They say when you forget something, you send salah ala nabi. Alhamdulillah. Right? So it's just a little thing I learned from one of my teachers. So, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. This is a verse that says that, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you did not throw the sand, quote, in quotations, you did not throw when you threw, but rather it was Allah who threw. All right, everyone listening? It is not you who threw, but Allah who threw. Now, let me give you what it's talking about. On the day of Badr, the Prophet ﷺ, as the war had just started, the Prophet ﷺ comes out of his tent and he picks up, you know, three handfuls of sand and he throws it towards the battlefield. And the narration says that the sand got into the eyes of only the mushrikeen. And they all started to, they couldn't see, they started to flee, and that was it. Now the verse says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ, you did not throw when you threw, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى, but rather it was Allah who threw. Imam Qastalani says, this is not saying that the Prophet did not throw the sand, because he did throw the sand. But what it's saying is, listen closely, the beginning of the action was done by you, but the outcome of the action was done by me. The outcome was done. There was no way the Prophet ﷺ could have threw sand on his own into the eyes of everyone. It was Allah, but it was his action. It was his action. And so that's the balance that many of us are not taking on projects. We're not doing things because we're worried. How will it come to completion? Don't worry about completion. Just do it. Just set out, do it, and watch Allah bring that thing to completion. Many of you have major projects you want to do. It's a book you wanted to write. It's a website you wanted to build. It's an app you wanted to make. It's whatever it is. You have major things that you are like, man. And here's my thing to you. Here's something I want to ask you. If failure was guaranteed that it could not happen, what would you start tomorrow? Listen to what I'm saying. If I said to you, I guarantee no failure, you won't fail, guaranteed, what action would you start tomorrow? What project would you start? Now your mind's like, I'll start this. I start that. So that tells you failure, your feel of failure is what's stopping you. And this is where I was trying to say it's more than tie your camel. It's about you realizing that the outcomes are in the hands of Allah, but you just got to do it. And Allah, according to your, there's a hadith, man, ana inda dhanna abdi bi, I am as my servant thinks of me. I am as my servant thinks of me. And so what that means is many of us were like, no, that's not going to happen. Okay, it's not going to happen. And other people are like, yo, I'm shooting for the moon. And they reach. They reach. Or at least they, what is the saying? I always mix it up. Is it shoot for the stars, land on the moon? Is that the correct way to say that saying? Anyone know? Or is it the other way? Shoot for the moon, land on the stars. Anyways, someone will tell me in the chat box. Point being, brothers and sisters, is that the وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى simply means that the Prophet threw the sand, but it was Allah who made it have the impact that it had. The impact that it had. And so what I'm telling us today is if you were guaranteed you wouldn't fail, then what is it that you'd start right now? What is it that you'd start right now? It seems like Instagram and Facebook all have difference of opinion. I think it's shoot for the star. I think it's shoot for the moon, land amongst the stars. But technically, that doesn't make any sense. So maybe we can all Google it after. So yeah, brothers and sisters, my time is, okay, it was shoot for the star, land on the moon. Okay, there we go. Got it. Brothers and sisters, Ramadan is right around the corner. Alhamdulillah. We beg Allah to let us reach Ramadan. It's going to be a different Ramadan. So I'm going to be doing another session, you know, follow on Instagram and Facebook. I'll be doing another session on how can we use this Ramadan, because for many of us, we've never experienced a Ramadan like this before. And I think it's very beneficial for us. Okay? Like, I really feel this will be a great Ramadan for many people if you know what to do and how to use it. So this is our last class for Masalik al-Jinan. We pray for the author of the book, that Allah give him jaza'ul khair, and we ask Allah to give him the best of rewards, inshallah. If you enjoyed this class, we have the whole podcast series on Instagram, on Qalam's podcast. It was a great series. We learned so much. Please listen to it, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you for joining me this evening. Those who normally were with me in person, I really miss you guys. Man, we had a nice crew, man. Alhamdulillah, after this pandemic, we'll be back together by the mercy and grace of Allah, inshallah. This isn't my last class. We're going to be doing regular classes throughout Ramadan, but now we'll switch from Masalik al-Jinan. Jazakallah khair, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.